Welcome to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life. My name is Tracy Crow. I'm an author, writing coach, and Marine Corps veteran. I'm looking forward to co-creating today's show with you. So if you're ready, are you ready? I'm ready. So if you're ready to live a more creative, more magical life, let's get started. Because today, January 29th, is our fourth episode, I decided to share a personal story that happened just 29 days ago on New Year's Day. The reasons I thought this was the ideal time for sharing is because of the themes already shared by our two previous guests in episodes 2 and 3. In episode 2, if you recall, we heard from Holly Alcadino, a photographer and mom of three little ones. Holly revealed how she uses photography to slow down time so that nothing about her precious life can be taken for granted. She taught us about seeing everything as a gift, including the morning frost on her windshield that's provided breathtaking photographs of frozen fractals under various lighting conditions. In episode 3, we heard from Morgan Bosworth, a yoga instructor, certified life coach, actor, musician, model, and my daughter. And Morgan shared how she infuses her yoga sessions and her entire life, frankly, with creativity. Morgan revealed how our own voices, coupled with music and in community, help to create pathways inward, reminding us of our divinity, our connections to one another, and of our ever-present connection to the divine. Morgan shared that yoga is more than a physical practice of bending, folding, twisting, and expanding to release stress-related energies that can become toxic when they're trapped within our physical form. As Morgan explained it, there's the yoga on the mat and the yoga off the mat. And how we live our yoga off the mat is just as important. It's more than what happens on your mat square, she tells us. And this was perhaps one of my greatest takeaways from our candid mother-daughter conversation, her follow-up explanation about what it means to expand our personal container of consciousness. That the more we expand our awareness of ourselves and our connections to community, the more calm and grounded we become. In fact, our response time to aggravations becomes longer, and this really resonated with something else I heard not long ago, that one's level of consciousness is revealed by the length of time between one's reaction to a stress trigger and one's response. In other words, are we a reactor or a creator? The shorter our response time between the stress stimulus and the response might reveal we're still reactors instead of creators. Of course, certain situations during which one's very life is being threatened calls for an immediate response, and this is why our miraculous bodies provide that much-needed burst of adrenaline during those fight-or-flight moments. But let's face it, most of us aren't physically fighting for our lives, at least consciously, on a daily basis. Oh, oops. I think I just heard a huge protest from a morning commuter on California's 405. I hear you, and please feel validated. But I think you know what I really mean. I'm referring mostly to stressors that seem to zing us from others, you know, from our coworkers, our family members, or those constant breaking news alerts these days. How are we doing with the everyday? Are we allowing ourselves to expand our container, as Morgan put it, for the reward that comes after a longer, more mindful response to a stressor? Or is our container shrinking? Are we going so inward that we're isolating ourselves from others, and even in some ways, from our truest selves? All of this is actually metaphor, right? And writers live for metaphors. In fact, we are metaphor hunters and gatherers, living our days on high alert for just the right, freshest way to compare an object or a concept to something that does not literally hold that same meaning. And that's my segue for the New Year's Day story I promised you. So, my husband and I have followed the same New Year's Day tradition for years. I prepare the traditional meal of, you know, the black-eyed peas, the cornbread, the corned beef, you know, that meal. And we spend the rest of the day watching movies from home. But when we moved to our home here in North Carolina, we met a group of friends who always gather for a New Year's Day hike. And we've been invited every year, and each year we've said no. We have our own routine, we said, and after staying up way past midnight to watch the ball drop in New York City and have a few glasses of champagne, the idea of waking early on a freezing morning for a hike has just never appealed to either one of us. But this year was different. You see, my husband had been hired to teach an all-day baseball clinic to local youth teams on New Year's Day. So I was solo. And so I decided that since I was solo, I would attend that New Year's Day hike with all those friends. I'd leave early, I told myself. I'd be home by 1, prepare our traditional meal, and so forth. I mean, that was my grand plan for the day. That morning, as I was driving up our long gravel driveway, I wondered if in my hurry I'd remember to shut the front door. So I backed up, and after a few feet of backing back toward the house, I heard or sensed something that sounded like, "Just whip around." "Just whip around," I thought. I've never driven our van over the grass. But why not, I thought. After all, my husband had just been driving all over our front field the day before in our golf cart. So I changed gears and whipped the van around, and all was going perfectly until about a foot before the front tires reached the gravel again, I was stuck. I couldn't back up. I couldn't go forward. I was literally stuck in the mud. And the tires were even sinking. Just as I was typing a text to the rest of the gang about not being able to join them, I looked in the rearview mirror, and there they all were, a caravan of them on their way to our meeting destination. They were all parked along the edge of the road in front of our property. The car doors flung open, friends pouring forth. They were waving, laughing as they walked down the hill toward me stuck in the mud in the front field, and they were wondering what I'd been drinking the night before on New Year's Eve to think I could just whip it around in the front yard. Now, let me pause right here to let you in on a secret about me that's no secret to anyone who really knows me. You see, I'm a control freak. I don't make these sort of mistakes. So while the guys were attempting to push my van out of the mud, I kept wondering in my head if this was some sort of lesson about discernment. After all, I'm not someone who colors outside the lines, or certainly not someone who would ever risk off-road antics with a Nissan van. So my radar antenna was up. What does this mean? I kept asking myself as friends tried futilely to push me to the safety of the gravel road. What am I missing? Now, the old Tracy of several years ago would have encouraged everyone to go on about their day while I set about calling AAA or someone to tow the van out of the yard, the responsible Tracy. But this Tracy? I heard a voice similar to mine say, because it was mine, "Oh, well, can I ride with someone? I'll deal with this later." And I even joked that everyone driving by my house that day would surely leap to the interpretation that Rosewood must have been the center of a wild New Year's Eve gathering. But halfway to our destination, my mind still reeling with those thoughts of, what does this mean? And I've never done anything so reckless as this, so what am I missing? I also suddenly realized that I was no longer in control of my day. that because I didn't have my vehicle, I couldn't leave at 1 as I'd planned. And when our caravan joined up with all the others at that destination point, of course, we had to get all the jokes out of the way about Tracy being stuck in the mud and what were you thinking? Of course, and fortunately, this is also the like-minded group in my life I so cherish because they too understand that nothing happens by accident. Whatever the meaning of all this, whatever the metaphor of Tracy being stuck in the mud or deep in ruts in her own front field would eventually reveal itself, everything reveals itself in time. So off we go on our hike. Now, New Year's Day a few weeks ago was uncharacteristically warm for us here in North Carolina. It was lovely, sunny, perfect in all the other ways. But along the hike, I was still attempting to surrender to the present moment every time an image of that van stuck in the mud fluttered into consciousness along with all the other steps necessary to get it unstuck. I pushed that thought aside. A few hours into our group, our group is enjoying this lovely potluck lunch around the campfire. And then at 1 p.m., when I would have been saying farewells to everyone, our two hosts, Sam and Novella, sprang a challenge on us. Now, a little background about these two dear friends. I think of them as shamans, but they would never refer to themselves as such. Still, they're both professionally trained trackers, and they have a connection to this planet like no one else I've ever known. So the challenge was this. We were going to be blindfolded, led away from camp a significant distance, and then we were to find our way back by following the sound of Sam's Native American drum. What? What? How was that going to happen? Someone in our group was already groaning about his knees. He has horrific knee pain. Another was dealing with back pain. Another dear member has cerebral palsy, and I wrestle from time to time with sciatic nerve pain that makes distance walking a challenge, much less blindfolded where I can't even see where I'm placing my feet. And where was my van when I most needed it? In my front yard, stuck in the mud. Ugh. So I took a deep breath and surrendered. And here's what happened. After we'd blindfolded ourselves, Novella led us in a single file out of camp. Now, we had no direction, which direction either. There we were, about 20 of us, blindfolded, our left hands cupping for dear life the left shoulder of the friend in front of us. We traversed all sorts of terrain, went down at least one fairly steep ravine, and we walked and walked and walked until finally Novella brought us to a halt. She led us one by one from that safe single file column to whatever position around that area she thought best, and each of us likely facing different directions. We waited quietly, some of us holding on to tiny limbs of a nearby tree for dear life until her signal to go. While waiting, both my legs began trembling with a whole 3 years worth of sciatic nerve pain. I'll have to crawl back, I thought. And then I took another deep breath and just surrendered. After all, I didn't have to be the first one to complete this challenge. I didn't care if I was the last one back. Let go, Tracy, I heard. Let go. Let go and channel your inner Native American. And then Novella finally said, go. And I was ready to. By this point, I was excited. I was ready until I'd lifted my left foot to take that first step and couldn't go anywhere. I was stuck. However high I lifted my left foot, I couldn't overcome the apparent brush pile debris in front of me, whatever it was. So I had to sidestep left, feeling along the brush pile for the first bit of clearing, you know, for that space that would open up so that I could finally move forward. Meanwhile, Sam is striking his Native American drum every 10 seconds or so, and he's so far away that I'm having to strain to hear the drum beat. But none of that matters anyway, because at this minute, I'm still stuck, still unable to move forward and still searching sideways that steep brush pile for the path forward. And then, finally, it happens. I'm finally free, I feel space, and I'm able to take a few steps forward. I am on my way. I am listening for that drum all the way until I smack face first into a tree. Okay, look, you only have to smack face first into one tree to learn that you can't maneuver the blindfold challenge walking upright. So I crouch in a sort of Tai Chi stance. And so now I'm moving slowly, methodically, right hand with right foot, left hand with left foot, right hand, left hand. But wait, I forgot about the drum. That sound I'd been following was suddenly coming from the opposite direction, and so I slowly turned in a complete 180, took another couple of deep breaths, listened carefully, and started all over again. Whenever a brush pile or impassable brush tree limbs, whatever, prevented any forward motion, I sidestepped, feeling for the space, for that open passageway, and often I'd have to reorient my entire body back toward that direction of Sam's drumbeat GPS. So there I was, in a Tai Chi sort of crouch, inching my way, clawing my way at times up that ravine toward that drumbeat that was suddenly in my heart now, not in my head. I was feeling the drum. In a way, I think I was the drum. And all my other senses were on a level of high alert I have never experienced before. I heard every crackle around me. I heard every insect, every bird. Nearby on another property, guns were being fired, and I used that gunfire from that direction as a reassurance I was correctly following my heart toward the drum. That New Year's Day in the woods, every one of us was a creator instead of a reactor. Every one of us created his or her own memorable, life-changing direction back to camp. Every one of us created an expanded container of consciousness. Afterward, during our debrief around the campfire, we discovered we'd taken an hour or more to get back. We were all dumbfounded. An hour, we shouted. Felt more like 10 or 15 minutes at the most. An hour, Sam told us. And our friend with the knee pain, our friend with the back pain, me with the sciatic nerve pain, all pain had disappeared the second we took our first step after Novella's go. And this is what Sam and Novella had wanted us to experience. The power of our mind over the physical, and how time is timeless when we're fully present in that moment. Remember Holly telling us that she can slow down time when she's creating through photography? And this is what Morgan is telling us when she says that being more mindfully present during a yoga session or in a creative capacity with music allows our personal container of consciousness to expand so that our response time to stressors grows longer and our life begins to flow with more peace, more grace, and with more meaning, and in a way that transforms us from reactors to creators. Creators of our own reality. Does that make sense? Are you still with me? On the drive back to Rosewood that evening, I had another epiphany. I realized that had I not gotten stuck in the mud that morning, had I not listened to the voice that whispered, "Just whip around," I would have left at one and missed all the gifts from that blindfold challenge. Gifts I'm still discovering 4 weeks later. And by the way, Sam brought over a chain that night and freed me, or rather freed the van, from its hilariously stuck position in those deep muddy ruts of our front yard. Don't you just love metaphor? I sure do. I hope you enjoyed today's co-creative listening experience. Please remember to leave a comment about the single greatest takeaway for you today. You know, that one thing you will remember from this day forward. Was it something funny or provocative? Was it just what you needed to hear? Please share so we can all benefit. And remember to return Tuesdays and Thursdays to accept your gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life.